Good afternoon.
Today's cabinet discuss a range of matters including the purchase of replacements for the Air Force's T3s, which Mr. Mark will speak to you about shortly. Amateur of reference will provide the equipment of Deputy Commissioner of Police. This week is a recess, so the House, as you know, will not be seen on Wednesday. I'll then take a reason with the Canadian. On Thursday, there will be a meeting with Professor Kathy Tober, where we will be making virtual programming announcements. And you'll be aware that the CIA announced the outcome of their investigation into Mr. Twyford's use of a cell phone on a plane. They concluded that a breach of civil aviation rules had occurred, and that the defendant was not deemed serious. And as such, they have issued a minimum fine of $500. Minister Biden has apologized for his actions, having this fanciful minister, but was not for the CAA. He must be above reproach on these matters. Because he is put down at the time, Senator Durbin was the Prime Minister at the time. I did discuss the matter of reading. As to what would be the appropriate information. And we agreed that it was a low level of offence, and that the Minister's contrition and assurance he won't commit this offence again, let us decide to register as the Minister of Police for the CAA. Slight irony, of course, would recap that as an event of other people. I'm guilty of that offence, and it should be a great deal of education training to us all. Know how serious it is. We fair to say the Minister has learned a lesson from his business, and if so, it has served as a timing point for all of us to provide the safety instructions on the internet. Cabinet also discussed the State Service appointment process inquiry into the Police Safety Commission. Cabinet signed off on the reference for the inquiry that will be made public shortly when it is cleared. As the person who will be leaving the inquiry to the end of the cabinet, the ministers will take the options and make decisions in coming days. It's important, of course, that that person was also apprised of the terms of inquiry before they set on the trial. It's important, when we leave the inquiry, to have, as I say, a full idea of the terms of reference, the time frame we have in mind, and the cost frame we have in mind. So I invite Mr. Knight to make an announcement on the case for clearance.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's with great satisfaction today that I announce that Cabinet has approved the purchase of four Boeing PAA Poseidon Maritime Patrol aircraft from the United States government. This announcement follows last week's release of the Strategic Defence Policy Statement 2018. The decision to purchase the V8 was made by Cabinet last week. We are making this announcement today to government for additional time after the decision to forward purchase foreign currency and for officials to prepare for the contract signature. Four V8s will replace the 680 P3, the Orion Maritime Patrol aircraft we currently have, and they have been operated by the Royal New Zealand Air Force since the 1960s. The total capital cost of the package is $2.346 billion, including the V8's simulator training system, infrastructure, and full reduction of service costs. The government has not made this decision lightly. We took the business case back to first principles and questioned and analysed all of the options thoroughly in our song. We did not rubber stamp for the government's premium. Maintaining the maritime patrol vessels is essential to New Zealand's national security and for our ability to contribute to global security efforts. Also, closer to home, capability provides a value of service to other government departments such as MPI. Customs, Department of Conservation, Civil Defence, MPAT, Police, Ministry of the Environment, Immigration and Fisheries. Decision strengthens the coalition government's Pacific reset policy by providing maritime patrol capability with the significant range and endurance needed to assist our partners in the South Pacific. And I say also increases our ability to respond on speed, which we will respond to any calls for humanitarian tasks or search and rescue. This is the government's not afraid to make hard decisions, particularly those that are intergenerational in their effect and have an impact on capital spending. The previous government put off the hard calls on defence procurement for far too long. It would be irresponsible for this government to continue to kick that can down the road, and I'm particularly proud that this government has done that and standing up to the decision. PH will be delivered and will begin operations in 2023. The Orions will be progressively phased out and retired as the PH arrive. Number 5 Squadron, which currently operates the Orions, will ship from Philippi to Ahakia, where they will operate from. The government will consider options for complementary maritime surveillance capability during the forthcoming defense capability plan review, due to be completed at the end of this year, something that I also announced on Friday. The complementary capability will consider options such as smaller manned aircraft, remotely piloted aircraft systems, and satellite-based operations for additional maritime surveillance tasks within the Kingfield's exclusive economic zone and in our near region. This will free up the PH wing to fly more missions in the South Pacific and further afield as required.
What's the cost for
those in
the
than originally planned? There are some contingency factors in there based around potential forex changes. There's some extra funds in there as a contingency fund. But essentially, you can say 50% of the cost is around infrastructure and where they're banking the fire squadron. 50% of the cost is training the simulators. We can go with 4 aircraft because we are purchasing 4 simulation training systems, which will allow not just the training of the pilot, but the training of the crew and the training of engineers, aviation engineers, on maintenance and cold firing and all those engineering related systems as well. So 50% of the cost roughly is infrastructure to move down from the middle of my hardware and the rest of the value.
Why are you talking about the middle of my hardware?
The hardware lends itself better to the ability of the PAs to be able to deploy, to be able to take off fully landed and get maximum endurance over time. Water time for the essential rescue area required.
So, because
the runway is too short for the aircraft? The runway is too short. Well, there's 2 things about the runway. One is that it is too short for the aircraft to take off fully laden and fully fueled. This is not new, actually. The previous government's interesting going back through the documents to see that the previous government was intending moving this capability anyway down to Ahakia. In fact, they were looking at closing the door line. It had something to do with the Prime Minister's electorate and the decision shifted. But this is actually a continuation of those original plans. The other thing is that, you know, these are combat aircraft. They can't be weaponized in the North Mine because of the level of encroachment now that exists with housing being built right along the border. So it makes a lot of sense to have the aircraft relocated. And that's something the previous government had included as well. But no matter how old this case, the aircraft stacks up on its own, and at the end of the day, it is the only option that delivers all the capabilities.
Is that very much on the
budget? I mean, how much of this is part of the decision to go with this? It's part of it. It's a very important part of it, but it's at the end of the day, the aircraft stacks up on its own merits.
You talked about the weaponization. Can you explain in lay terms how these will pick up from the Orion?
Well, it doesn't actually, to weaponize the line, you have to move down to a height to do that. Countless times in the aircraft, and so, but then I said, I need to wait to the owner.
Yeah, so I'm asking you if you could explain what reason, what capability the TO4 has.
Oh, it's the same engine submarine, what we're capable of talking about sensors.
Is Mark, they would have liked to extend the option of patent in theory, is that correct?
Commercial confidentiality would ask me for excuse for disclosing the cost of all of the options, of any of the options. But can I say that this is the best option, and in terms of the cost effectiveness of it, it is the best deal. Let me just put it that way, and I wouldn't be assuming that it was the dearest option on an aircraft by aircraft basis. That's what I was thinking.
Would you be the most expensive option? What are we getting with these aircraft? What are we getting with the cheaper?
Good question. These aircraft, the greatest advantage of these aircraft that I can do was that the United States is $4.9 billion worth of research for this. Essentially, we're buying a 737 with different wings. It's 60% of the cost of the aircraft is what's fitted inside of its capability and delivery. When you look at what they've invested in to produce that capability, it's $9 billion. Well, we're getting the advantage of that. Plus, we're getting the advantage of any upgrades that come with it, so we don't have to buy into the IP. We don't have to do any further research and development ourselves as a global nation. We are part of a system, part of a family, a fleet of about 150 of these aircraft now that have been introduced into service around the world. In fact, South Korea has just announced that it also is purchasing the V8 and we're in there with Norway and other countries as well. So, whilst it's a huge advantage of being flying the same aircraft, the interoperability question about our crew that being able to change over between planes, our operators being able to operate in here in the back, if they're Canadian or American or in Australia, who will all be interoperable in that. But what are you getting done for money wise? It's the research, development, and ongoing spiral upgrades will be available to us.
I flew with vehicles during the MH370 search, and the guys at the time told me that the Orions were better than the Silence for search and rescue missions because they would fly lower and slower.
That's a really good observation. I myself was personally with three. When I did the operation, I listened to Afghanistan and Iraq, the opportunity to defend the Liverpool and Simon O'Connor, Sheriff of his. We flew an operational mission in P3. We got to observe our crew performing under high stress and high pressure and thoroughly impressed. One of the things that impressed me more was being able to observe the change of the pattern of behaviour of the vessel that was of interest when we did a low pass over the top of it. That prompted me to ask questions, that very question about the VA. The response was we had Australians come out. We took a few people out, we did a flight. I can tell you about being in that aircraft at 300 feet, circling a naval vessel, and it performed admirably. And all the information I have received back from the United States and from Australia is that the aircraft performs well at that level. That was one of the concerns that I have in my mind, and I'm thoroughly satisfied that the aircraft's capable. If it is required to do that, to fly over.
But isn't, I mean, the side of genome, isn't it? Too much capability for what we as New Zealand.
Yeah, you
well, most of the missions are going to be search and rescue in the situation.
So, in whaling operations, we wish to keep a close eye on what is actually happening down in the Southern Ocean. If we're looking at unregulated, unreported, illegal fishing operations, then we need to get high definition imagery, very high quality intelligence that other agencies, other government agencies may wish to prosecute in an international forum. If the success of many of those prosecutions will very definitely come down to the quality and the accuracy of the information and the intelligence provided, I'm thoroughly confident that the aircraft's going to deliver that information. And whether it's the Ministry of Environment, Department of Conservation, Ministry of Foreign Affairs, or the police, or customs, I'm fully confident that the aircraft's going to deliver.
Will this aircraft duplicate the information that the Aussie drones are going to make available to us as Five Eyes partners? a few weeks ago they said they were going to share maritime surveillance and anti-submarine detection capability with their Five Eyes partners through the drones. How will these kind of capabilities complement each other?
Well, I'm not quite sure what we're going to. All I'll say is that we have understanding with all our partners, including the Five Eyes partners, and we were able to work jointly together and enhance people's each other's understanding precisely what the situation is, and enhance each other's situational awareness. We'll continue to do that. If we're operating in parts of the world, we have an interest to protect our own vessels, to keep open, to ensure that our rights of passage are being maintained and not being interdicted. I guess we will always share that with like-minded nations and partners, and that is just a given.
The question is whether we're replicating capabilities and information, which, given the cost, may make this a kind of a top-shelf
option. We're a sovereign nation. We're going to be right by ourselves with our own intelligence as we need. If that happens to replicate something that will reflect Australia's produce, that might not be the thing for verification purposes.
Will ship and squadron commander Apia have any impact on the Singapore decision?
I think the Singapore work is a separate stream of work. It would be fair to assume that Ahati can only take so much. But the Singapore decision is a separate decision. We're looking at that quite separately.
But I think it will use up quite a bit of...
It will use up space. That is possible.
Thank you very much. That's my last question.
About the news
yes,
strike,
sir.
Mr. Peter.
Speaking of taxpayer money and not being
seriously concerned about people in Bristol Palace and the hospital. That's our country now. Even doing nothing on the crisis in the past. So,
is there a problem, Mr. Peters, in talking about fiscal responsibility to the nurses when you've just announced a defence purchase which is four times the cost of the nurses' pay package?
That's not true. You've got to take this over 35 years. The people we're buying now, we're doing what the people we are using now is doing 35 years of the longer. In fact, the people we have now is going 15 years ago. And so if you think about and annualise the cost, then the expenditure is actually less, not higher than that. But
the nurses.
We can't pay the nurses, it's more for the nurses. Well, look, after anything that's coming in, that we have every part of our economic and social security worked out and paid for. You cannot run a country like ours if you do not have preparedness to defend your maritime resources. We have a foreign policy which we have to help your Pacific neighbours in there.
Mr. Peters, the new
and a whole range of other things. The idea that this is either for expenditure is wrong. You've got to do the whole lot. Otherwise, you're going to have no land and nothing to actually preserve the fiscal law and have any arrangement to secure the long term sovereignty of this country.
Don't you see the nurses' pay as being an investment in the future as well?
Well, of course I do. What I'm asking, I'm not meant to deter anyone from advancing their words or their cause. But what I do get to talk to the unions about, the members about, is you've got a government that does get banned, but give us a chance to demonstrate it and manage something on at the same time. Otherwise, you have a prospect of having a different government in 3 years' time, and in fact, worse off than you ever were, and 12 years of struggle to show it.
I think that's
the one. No, the gentleman
back there, right here. On Friday, the US wants to see this round of tariffs against China, so I have some support data in that trade war against the two countries. How do you deal with this in this world area?
We don't. We just have to potentially suffer incredible damage. That's why we believe in certain aspects. National engagement, but we don't benefit from it. We do our best to adjust to it and ensure we survive that.
You just want to achieve collateral damage. What do you assume that's going to be?
Well, collateral would be collateral benefit and get something far better about it, or collateral loss, because that's the circumstances in which trade should be conducted.
But it's a collateral problem. As a small trading economy like us at the bottom of the world, surely you think we would be. Somehow
those two economies. I just said that. I'll say that to you. We could suffer some collateral damage as a consequence. That means we could be impacted as possible. I think she was talking about something here, but not me.
You want to make the racist
comment? Well, I didn't make any comment. I don't think it was like that.
Do you think
but I did watch the program today. I didn't watch the program today. I thought it was my comment for a long time before that.
Do you think racism is a factor
of that? She said that. Yeah.
What was the time frame you had?
Time frame that we announced the time we was here. The same we decided that what is going to be done some challenges, but we have chosen to go there time person to seek to engage all those experiences. That's not done at all, we have information, but we think we are that person to person.
Can I ask you what your thinking was behind Walmart and the defense strategy review last Friday being a lot more involved on China than perhaps your foreign defense speech the week before?
Well, I see a different bit more than I was saying what I was saying. And I was saying for a long time.
You mentioned that China talked about students at the South China Sea were my policy with the government policy one month announced. Banks trying to get
So there is a change there.
And I'm asking myself, why are presumably considering the localization of the South China Sea? Does everyone pay the problem for that? I mean, I'm sure you drove a dog here, probably being honest as well. I'm sure you know in 7 days, whether it be Italy, United States, Australia, where we're elsewhere. And that's been our European broadcast, but I'll agree with you at the moment, in the sense of being far more caring, far more honest about it. Well, the poor boy, I was just doing that with her. It's a good idea. And there's no difference between Ron Mark and what I'm saying and what I've been saying.
Except that Ron Mark said the word China, and you notably did not say the word China.
And that's the difference.
That's
it. And you're hung up because obviously the ones built out here and playing for the picture cut up.
Are you specifically considering the past that you did not call that by name and now we are? There's a significant change.
We do call out companies by name. I was mentioning the lack of compliance with the UN agreement with respect to the court with respect to children just last week. You know what's going to happen is. We made talks about the danger of the trade policy now which I say to God. We know what's going to happen is. We're not going to look at this matter. And as for everybody arguing about there being different defence and foreign policy, I'm not going to base that. What do you make of those comments? Well, we're not here, as I said, to make people happy. We're here to be a responsible international citizen, doing our best to preserve the values we live. And to preserve our sovereignty and enhance economic and social wealth of people in this country. That's why our problems. Not to make all of them happy to get what we say. It is a thing which has been in the last 9 years, a whole lot of money.
What are you saying you're seeing that response to action? What ratings have you received as a response to action in addition to the engagement?
Yes, the Chinese have made it appear to our ambassador in Beijing. They're concerned about that. As their ambassador here has made their concerns. Beijing has made a concern to foreign affairs. And that's not unusual. We have all sorts of offshore interests expressing their views by their ambassador, like Mr. Lee Sung.
Is that a response? You're talking about making it due to about Mr. Ma's strategic
response. I'd rather not get straight
up. Is it appropriate for the client to hold on to the responsibility for the navigation
authority giving it to the force? Well, it's really hard to be straight up fine. And I'm sure for maybe the reason because we just look ahead and say, plus a fine.
Do you think
that's right? I'd like to say that. It is not the body of the fingers, not the body. Nevertheless, we all know that this bar is held arbitrarily by all sorts of professional people.
Do you think it's time to look for this? Do you think it's time to look for
this? No, I think it was fair.
Do you hear your rules?
I have
to hear your rules.
Have I heard my rules? Look, I know it might be my angel, but yes, I have heard the rules. Which one are you talking about? Turn the phone on. Look, I was saying that we're going to get a lot of analysis going on, not. Sometimes I have to for a long time, or should we have to do half an hour? Right? So, now, the point out to me that my time on the rules, I'm on the pressure of about 1,000 times. And I'm looking at it. Any other questions? Well, here's my response. What happened to you in the last 9 years? You had 3 months in 3 years back then. And they gave you nothing. And we started off being far more fair, far more reasonable, whilst at the same time ensuring that we put enough aside for a rainy day. And what are you now? A rainy day is here. Michael, the
can see $1.6 billion of minimum already. So that's the line which I'm trying to appeal to these people, whilst not criticizing them or doubting their right to cost by so on. Well, first of all, I wasn't aware that they would have any council decision on. So they would be official and one authority to make on behalf of the council without the council period. But they may have been in there. The second thing is the real issue is I'm not concerned to go down and procure a gentleman who must have lost actions. But had we been asked, we are with them tonight, because despite the fact that what they might have to say is egregious of what we all of us believe here, we still believe in freedom and the right freedom to express it in free speech.
So do you think they should be allowed to speak in all time?
Well, I'd say that having been asked and what was known to us and was indeed, we're allowed to become based on free speech is the most, one of the most fundamental freedoms that we have. We should be very careful to be expelled on that course because without stream historic record of that, there's been just disastrous.
What if I wanted to speak at a Crown owned building? What if I had wanted to speak at a Crown owned building? Do you think you would have given them permission to speak, say, right here? In Bakerville?
Well, they weren't asking to come and speak at the Bakerville. And the chance of coming to speak at the Bakerville, the same chance.
So would you believe we say to the world that they should be allowed to be against the Northern Council then?
No, I just want to know whether the full council made that decision. And secondly, I just want to make it clear that we would not have made that decision. Because freedom of speech is seriously important. We live in an age when all sorts of trolls about the agenda people would like to have.
So what do you say about Dick Fricks made to Michael Davidson when she expressed her opinion?
Well, those threats are breach of the law, and if you track them down, they could be prosecuted. That's what I say to those people. But one more question. Well, since I haven't heard it, I wouldn't like to give you an interpretation at this point.